620 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy on Fox News is praising the debt ceiling bill that is now law.
There are no taxes. There's no new government programs. We actually got more than you thought in the process that we could get to this point. So it's not perfect, but it is a beginning of turning the ship. Now we've got to do the rest of the job.
The bill raises the nation's borrowing authority and averts default. The latest jobs report was a mixed bag. Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan spoke about it on CBS's Face the Nation.
The Fed is getting the consumer spending level in line, and now we have the jobs report and other things which send some confusing and ambiguous messages. But the reality is the activity of the consumer is more in line with what the Fed wanted because the rate increases and other aspects have had their effect.
The Fed will discuss interest rates later this month. The body of one of three men missing since the partial apartment building collapse in Davenport, Iowa, has been found. 42-year-old Brendan Colvin Sr. is the first person confirmed to have died in that collapse. Two other people remain missing. Gunfire at a ceremony in Chicago. Adnardo Gutierrez is the acting deputy police chief.
A large group of people were gathered to celebrate the life of a man who was killed in a car accident 4 years ago. A verbal altercation ensued, and then multiple offenders began to shoot.
25-year-old woman was killed, six other people injured. The 91st Annual U.S. Conference of Mayors is underway in Columbus, Ohio. Several issues, including gun violence and immigration, are being discussed. Sylvester Turner is Houston's mayor.
We need comprehensive immigration reform. This problem is not going to go away. At the same time, we need more employees. We need more laborers, you know, in our respective cities and in this country.
More than 11,000 migrants were returned or deported to more than 30 countries since the pandemic era Title 42 policy expired. Officials in India say a deadly train wreck may have been caused by a signaling problem. This man was on board one of the trains.
My brother was sitting by the window just next to me. Suddenly there was a sound like a bomb blast, a big bang. The train turned upside down. I fell on a pile of people and many others fell on me.
Hundreds of people were killed, more than 1,000 injured. A Chinese warship has come within 150 yards of an American guided missile destroyer in the Taiwan Strait. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin.
I voiced my concern about the irresponsible behavior we've seen with the close intercepts and the coercive behavior that we see in the waterways.
This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Ray Magliozzi here for eBay Motors. You're driving along and some nimrod cuts you off. You hit the horn. Jeez, it sounds like a goose in distress. Time to head over to eBay Motors. They have horns for every make and model, not to mention horn pads, steering wheels, wiring, and more. 122 million parts. You can even go for an upgrade. That looks like Mr. Cutoff Man needs a new seat cover. Try eBay Motors, pal. Get the right parts at the right prices. eBay Motors. Let's ride.
With summer savings at the Home Depot, we have laundry appliances that just fit. Fit your space, fit your needs, and fit your budget. Like a new LG laundry set with six motion technology using different wash motions to get clothes cleaner. And sensor dry to automatically adjust drying time, all making laundry quicker, cleaner, and easier on your clothes. Final days to save up to 30% on select appliances plus $100 off select laundry sets at the Home Depot ends June 7th. Pricing valid May 18th through June 7th, 2023. U.S. only. See store online for details.
Did you know one in four car batteries is weak and needs to be replaced? O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, our professional parts people can help you find the right SuperStart battery for your vehicle and budget. Don't wait. Get your battery tested for free today at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope, to give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Here's your forecast from Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 56. Winds out of the southeast 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. Highs level off around 82. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows level off around 58.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 82.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Attorney Fred Gordon and former alderman in the city of Milwaukee, who now resides in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're talking about, you know, it's Black History Month, so I reached out to Fred because, you know, some things that happened in the city of Milwaukee that I think that many people in this listening audience would be amazed to find out. You know, and so we're going to be doing that throughout this month, bringing people like Fred Gordon on to talk about the history of this state and Black people in it. And before we go back, Fred, you know, what we want people to understand, too, is back during those times, we kind of had our own Bull Connor, right?
Harold Breyer
and that police
Harold
department.
Harold Breyer was the chief of police, and he ran a very tight ship, as they used to say back in the day, in the sense that you had a small number of African Americans, and I don't think they had any Latin people on the force during that time. And he ran the city. I remember vividly during those times when the mayor, Henry Meyer, said emphatically that there's nothing that I can do to stop Harold Breyer from doing what he does.
Right.
And, you know, that was an admission that was very shocking at the time. And essentially, he ruled the city, and certainly the segregation that was pronounced at that time was due in large part to the control that the police exercised over the African-American community, and in many communities still existing here at this point in time in America.
Yeah, so let's go back to the open housing and the fact that, you know, schools, the schools that were created to address this, the segregation in the schools.
Yes, well, what happened, Earl, is, as you may recall as well, is that from 1965 to 1967, there was a lot of activism. There were marches, there were boycotts, there were sit-ins. The NAACP, and more importantly, the NAACP Youth Council, spearheaded what was, as I indicated earlier, called direct action. Instead of just complaining about it and crying about it, the determination was to get into the streets to march. We were taking our cues from what we saw happening in other cities around the country, particularly in the South. Dr. King came to Milwaukee during that period of time.
Several times.
Yes. Dick Gregory was very much involved in helping to publicize what was going on and certainly marched with us. You know, I was like 13, 14, 15 years old. And the youth council at that time was spearheaded by Father James Groppi. And, you know, as you know, during that period, there was a coalition of activists, black and white, who were working together to bring attention, you know, to these segregated situations in America. And the Catholic Church was very much involved at that time in leading that. Father Groppi, as we called him, marched with us, organized, and spearheaded the resistance to the laws that were being perpetrated upon the African-American community, and the fact that, for the most part, all black people lived in one area of the city. And that's why the open housing, the fair housing laws that were being put forth by then Alderwoman Bill Phillips and others were contentious, because essentially they wanted to keep black folks in our place. And as long as we stayed in our place and did what we were told, then we wouldn't have any problems. But obviously that wasn't the case. So in 1966, I recall vividly, the marches had started to ramp up. And, you know, I was a kid. I got involved because the NAACP Youth Council Freedom House was right behind where I used to live. And I spent a lot of time over there and got involved and got to marching. That's where my political consciousness began. And, you know, as a teenager, you know, I was reading James Baldwin and, you know, Dr. King's speeches, and all kinds of activity were going on. So the marches across the 6th Street Viaduct was the first time that I had ever marched. You know,
Fred,
in a civil rights march.
I know, but so Fred, before we get to the viaduct, what people need to understand is the viaduct was like a dividing line.
Yes.
White.
Yes, the viaduct was.
Go ahead.
The viaducts, and there was more than one too. The viaduct separated, you know, the black community from the white community. It separated the north side, where most black folks live, from the south side, where most white folks live during that period of time.
Right.
So no black people ever crossed the viaduct unless they were going to work or, you know, had some business over there, and very few black folks had business on the south side. So as a result, the viaduct was the dividing line. So to march across the viaduct was a big deal. And marches were organized and commenced, and there were several marches. There were marches every day, as I recall. And every time we got to a certain point, there was resistance, you know, by white people who did not want us, quote, invading, unquote, their neighborhoods.
So, Fred, people might want to know, were these marches just with black people, and how large were they?
Oh, no, they were not just solely black folks. During that period of time, as you recall, Earl, integration was starting to proliferate. We always had the opportunity to coalesce with like-minded white people.
Right.
There weren't a lot of them, but there were some. And as a result, we did have white marches. And again, I have to give the church at that time credit, because Father Groppi was the leader. You know, think about this. You know, we had a white priest who was leading the black struggle.
Yes.
At that time.
Yes.
And as a result, you know, there were other priests, Lutheran priests, Catholic priests in other cities that were doing the same thing. So that's what focused the attention of the world, really, on the city of Milwaukee, that you had this white priest who was leading these black folks on marches across the viaduct to City Hall and downtown Milwaukee. And as a result, Milwaukee became an epicenter of the struggle.
So Fred,
and the attention was being brought to bear, you know, on the conditions in the city.
So, Fred, hang on a second. Let's go to the phone lines and Andy from Beaver Dam. Hey, good morning, Andy. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, I moved to Milwaukee in 65 from my hometown, and everything you're describing is right. The Father Grappi would lead every day a group of African Americans and other people over the 16th Viaduct Bridge over the Menominee River Valley into the Polish, what used to be the Polish section of Milwaukee. And of course, these guys over there, the white guys, they'd be waiting for him, and they would, this was a peaceful demonstration. But a lot of times those guys would, you know, throw rocks at him or, you know, or just, they'd really get mad, you know, at the demonstrators and get them crazy. As far as Breyer was concerned, you know, cops in the mid-60s always looked like, you know, they'd have the hats and all that stuff. Though that everything crescendoed by 67 after the riots when they closed the city down, all of a sudden the cops are wearing helmets and riot gear, and they'd open up the doors of their police cars and they'd have shotguns stuck in a holster in the door. I mean, they were totally armed, you know, ready, hell-bent for whatever would come their way, you know, and like you said, Breyer would rule with an iron hand. He was the guy, you know. I mean, I don't think he had a whole lot of use for the African American community, you know. He was a hardliner, you know, but it was definitely a time of change and revolution and whatever, and everybody, you know, wanted to be able to, you know, live where they wherever they wanted to go. They wanted to be kept to one sector of the city, you know.
Hey, Andy.
That would be my observation.
Hey, Andy, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. Fred?
The result, it was very exciting for a young person like myself because I was becoming aware of who I was as a black person. I was reading and I remember vividly that when I joined the NAACP Youth Council and, you know, some of my friends, a lot of my friends were also involved, the marches were a major thing. It was being covered by, you know, the networks, because as we were talking the other day, there were only three television networks in existence at that time. So as a result, you had a lot of attention being brought to bear on the city of Milwaukee, because at that time, Earl, as you know, the city of Milwaukee was, you know, it was a Polish-German populated city,
right,
with a very small African-American community. You know, black folks came to Milwaukee after the Great Migration in the late 50s. So it was one of the last cities to have an influx of African-American folks from the South to come up for the jobs, because at that time there were many, many jobs that were available to people. So as the caller was saying, the white folks would throw rocks and bricks and epithets at us and would charge us when we marched across the viaduct. So it's funny now, because they would literally run us back across the viaduct to Wisconsin Avenue.
So, Fred, because we unfortunately, we got to go to a break again quickly. But one would probably ask, what were the police doing during this time? Were they protecting the people coming across the viaduct who were enforcing their constitutional rights?
Oh, that's a whole other discussion that we'll have after the break.
Okay. All right, hang on. 844-967-2789. Attorney Fred Gordon's on the line. We'll be right back.
presents how to get the most from your next DQ treat run. Step one, grab the new Oreo Brookie Blizzard. Step two, dig in. That's it, because this triple-decker treat has brownie and cookie Brookie pieces, plus Oreo pieces. Oh, that's a mouthful of DQ goodness in every red spoonful. Guess it's time for a treat run, because the Oreo Brookie Blizzard is here for a limited time, only at DQ. Happy tastes good.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Wapaw area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. On the line, my good friend, Attorney Fred Gordon, and former alderman of the city of Milwaukee. He now resides in Charlotte, North Carolina. But Fred, before we went to break, we were talking about the viaduct. We were talking about the fact that peaceful marches were set to cross the viaduct, and there was opposition on the other end. I think there were certainly, at one point in time, I think I read 10,000 people who were going to march across that viaduct. On the other side of the viaduct waiting were angry Polish and German people who did not want people. And so why was the viaduct chosen to cross? Was it because knowing that those vicious people were on the other side to prove a point?
Well, there was certainly knowledge of resistance coming from people who did not want black folks in their neighborhood.
Right.
And as I indicated earlier, the viaducts were the separating lines between the north side and the south side of the city. And that particular viaduct was chosen because once you crossed it, you were right there on the south side. Everything changed. And, you know, growing up, when you went across the viaducts to the south side,
it didn't go.
It was like a whole new world.
Right. Didn't go.
You know, so as a result, the strategy was to confront that reality and to march there, because at that time, as I was saying earlier, the fair housing legislation for the city of Milwaukee was being debated by the Milwaukee Common Council. And Bill Phillips was leading the charge from the legislative aspect. Father Grappi was all about direct action. And because he was a white Catholic priest, he got attention from the media. And he was very smart and very skillful in using the media to promote what was being done as far as direct action was concerned and the marches that were taking place. And our strategy was to march every day until the legislation at the city level was passed. And that's what we did. And the response was, and you mentioned earlier, Earl, that the police, they were there. And I'll never forget it because, you know, they stood in formation. A lot of cops, probably anywhere from 100 to 100 cops or more. And they stood there with the batons ready and said nothing, did nothing, while all this chaos was going on. Because, you know, I had never been called the N-word until I marched across the Viaduct in my life. So as a result, that was obviously a shock to my system. But because we were committed to that aspect of the struggle, as we called it, we continued to march.
You know, Fred, as I think back, the over 200 days the marches went on. Yep. In the city of Milwaukee. And why that's significant, Fred, is it's not like it's in Florida. The weather changes, right?
Yep.
And even
yep.
during that inclement weather, the people yes. continue to march.
Yes, absolutely. We got our impetus to do that from the Montgomery bus boycott, which lasted, as you know, for over a year. Where people, you know, in the South, in Montgomery, Alabama, stopped riding the buses because of having to ride in the back of the bus and because of the protest that Rosa Parks was involved in. But no, the marches went on because people were committed. And again, the world was watching. You know, Milwaukee started to become more known for, you know, its segregated and racist policies because of that. And because Father Grappi was in the forefront, made it possible for the media to say, oh, this is newsworthy. But the marches continued until the legislation was finally passed. And as a result, you know, you look at what's happening now in Milwaukee, and things are different, but not that much different.
No, you know, Fred, what people need to really focus on is that at the root of these marches was the fact that black people were locked into a certain segment of the city where we could buy houses and could not, and were locked out of their constitutional rights. You're an attorney. Man, the fact that people... even based on what was right and what was wrong, and their constitutional rights were blatantly being disavowed, the fact that we had to go through all of that is pretty amazing to me.
Well, not only is it amazing, girl, it's instructive of the fact that that took place during that period of time. We now have legislation to basically do whatever it is that we want to do, but the mentality and the mindset of those in control is still the same. Witness what's happening in the state of Florida.
Right.
Here we are celebrating Black History Month, and legislation has been passed in the state of Florida and endorsed by the governor saying that we can't learn about our history because it'll make white folks.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Mom, what are we doing with these shoes now that the garage sale is done?
Well, honey, we're going to donate them to the Southwood County Humane Society.
But Mom, pets don't wear shoes.
You're right, they don't. But we have people in need that do need shoes. And by gathering these shoes, we'll get a donation for the Southwood County Humane Society to help our pet friends.
You can drop off your shoes at Winrose Greenhouse, Bow Wow Meow, Current Technologies in Port Edwards, Piggly Wiggly in Nakusa, and of course, right here at our radio station downtown Wisconsin Rapids.
Play ball.
Oh, but honey, look, homemade salsa.
It's Crafters Baseball Night at Witter Field, June 4th. Vendors will be inside the stadium for the early game on Sunday. Play starts at 4:04. School's out, so bring the kids and make it a family night. Find all sorts of handmade goods with a variety of vendors set up within the ballpark. There's fun for all ages and a chance for kids to play games on the field. You don't want to miss this fun Crafters Baseball Night with your Wisconsin Rapids Raptors, Sunday, June 4th.
Bandana, check. Boots, check. Gloves, check. As a motorcycle rider in Wisconsin, you may go to great lengths to protect your image. Just be sure you're protecting yourself, too. Wear a Department of Transportation-approved helmet. Perform safety checks on your motorcycle. Know the traffic laws and don't take risks. Motorists and motorcyclists can work together to achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roads. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
This week's flavor forecast is brought to you by Swiftwater Ice Cream, 300 Market Street in Nakusa. This week's flavor of the week is pistachio. Find Swiftwater Ice Cream on Facebook.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Be great if life came with a remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 56. Winds out of the southeast 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. Highs level off around 82. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows level off around 58. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 82.
Mississippi, surrounded by for a world that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the right direction. Living Patience long, but soon it won't have any. To find a job is like a haystack needle. Cause where he lives, they don't use colored people. Living just enough for the city.
Stevie Wonder, Living for the City. My guest is Fred Gordon, Attorney Fred Gordon, former alderman and, you know, and friend. And we're talking about those really impressionable times, Fred, that, you know, kind of made us who we are. You know, before we went to break, man, we were talking about the fact that all people wanted to do, man, you're an attorney. All people wanted was what the nation said, you know, we had a right to. And yet the fact that people had to fight. And Fred, in many instances, as you just stated in what the commercials, that the news that we heard before we got back on the air, that there are people right now still fighting, still attempting to prevent citizens of this nation who fought, bled, and died for it to have equal and fair opportunities and representation in this country.
Yeah, I think that what you're seeing in Florida and other states around the critical race theory debate and the suppression of the opportunity to teach and have discourse, intelligent discourse, you know, about America's past is reflective of what we were marching for and what we were fighting for. And there's a slogan that Howard Fuller used to use, and I use it myself, called Aluta Continua. It's the struggle continues. And I think that that's the way it's going to be, certainly for, you know, the rest of our lives, because, you know, we're getting older, and the young people who are now in the vanguard of, you know, dealing with these direct action, marching, protesting, it's up to them to continue to struggle, continue to fight, because the retrenchment on the civil rights that were legislated in the 60s, are now, that's still going on. It's stronger than it ever was, in my opinion. We have legislation, we have laws on the books, but the reality is that for people of color in America, you still can't get a loan from a bank. You still have issues in terms of where you'd like to live. There's still roadblocks and walls that keep us apart. So, yeah, it's still a struggle. It'll always be, as long as we are in America. And I think that it's important for us as the elders to teach our children to teach young people. And I think that that is going to be what our role is, because we remember what it was like. We've seen advances. We've seen progress in many, many respects. But then you look at what happened with Tyre Nichols
right.
in Memphis. And I tell you, man, those cops, they would have fit right into Harold Breyer's squad back in the 60s.
Fred, people who are listening may not believe that, but what those guys did used to happen with law enforcement in the city of Milwaukee. They used to have what they call an elevator ride. Remember that?
That's right. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
You know, they were... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Fred.
The police repression that took place in Milwaukee during that period of time was so ingrained, you know, in the psyche of people of color, black people, that
terrifying.
You knew where not to be.
Yes.
Even though they didn't have those sundown laws in the South, in the North, you knew where not to be after a certain period of time. And we learned very, very quickly where you could go and where you could not go. And if you went there, you should go in a group so that, you know, there would be witnesses.
So, Fred, you just talked about something called a sundown law. In this state, in the state of Wisconsin, let's talk about what a sundown law was, because some may argue it still exists.
Oh, absolutely. The sundown laws originated in the South. And basically, there were towns where it was posted on billboards and signs. Colored people, be at home or be out of town by sundown, or you would get arrested. And if you got arrested, you'd be in jail, and you would get your butt kicked.
Right.
And that was the reality. And, you know, we know all about, you know, the Green Book and the travels that black folk took from various places in the country when they were traveling in the South, you know, during the heights of segregation. And that was a reality in Milwaukee. I mean, in Wisconsin. You knew what was going on. And, you know, remember the Posse Comitatus?
Yes. You know.
Yes. That started in Wisconsin. And it was basically, you know, armed white folk who wanted to keep black folk from leaving, you know, the city of Milwaukee or wherever black folks live and going north, going up north. So that is a real history of racism in Wisconsin and in this country.
So, Fred,
it still persists.
And the thing is, what people should know is we're not talking about 100 years ago, right?
No.
No, you know, it's pretty recent history. And yet, you know, Wisconsin's still one of the most segregated states in the United States. It has not changed from that perspective. And since black people only make up 5% of the population in the state, you always hear that people are afraid in the state, you know, of black people. But Fred, why? I mean, what have black people done in the state of Wisconsin to impact and affect whites across the state? Do you know of any situations where we've gone into these different areas, segregated areas of the state, and pounced upon white people, raped white women, or you know, robbed?
Oh no, that's never been the case, and it never will be the case. And as a result, the fear mongering that has existed throughout this country's history is still being perpetrated in many respects. You know, as I spoke about the critical race theory controversy, you know, that's a symptom of that. Why would you not want to teach people about history and not include what happened to people of color in this country? And now you want to spare white people's feelings, white children's feelings, because, Earl, the controversy is so ridiculous. The courses that are being offered at the college level, because I don't know about you, but I really learned about history, about our history, you know, when I went to college.
So, Fred, hang on.
I was in high school, man, we never studied history.
So let's bring some...
We never studied slavery.
Fred, let's bring some callers on quickly. Let's go to Cassandra from Madison. Hey, good morning, Cassandra. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah, oh, Fred, I am very much enjoying your commentary today. There are two points that I would like to get your opinion on. Number one, I agree with you about the African-Americans studies class. I did not get that information on the history of my ancestors until I enrolled in a course in college and also in graduate school. However, I think what the media is doing, they're not disclosing the full information about the course. DeSantis, he is a bigot, in my personal opinion. However, the course developers, they did not follow the instructions about what the state had wanted for the course. They wanted an African-American history class, not an African-American studies class. So some of the units that they were offering, it really did not meet the standards. I'm a professor. Whenever I design a course, I have to abide by the program and the course objectives. And the individuals who wrote the course, they really didn't do that. My second point that I want to ask you is, if you've been following the migrant protest movement in New York, and here is something that concerns me as an African-American female. The migrants who are out there protesting in New York because they do not want to move into what they feel are inferior accommodations, those migrants, they have that right to protest because our ancestors in the civil rights movement fought for their ability to exercise their free voice. Now, as African Americans, we are not getting involved in the immigration argument, and it is having an impact, especially on black males in employment in construction and the other trades. And so I just like to get your point of view, and I'm going to listen off the air because I have to get ready for work, but very much enjoying your commentary.
Hey, Cassandra, thank you very much for the call. Fred, hang on. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Skyscraper and everything.
Hey, brother. Hey, come here, Slick. Huh? Hey, you look hip, man. Hey, you want to make yourself $5, man?
Yeah, brother.
Look here. Run this across the street for me right quick, okay? Run this across the street for me.
Hey. I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
A jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on. Get in that cell, nigga.
God. No.
His hair is long. His feet are hard and pretty.
You are listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Crescenda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
We return here
in Wisconsin Rapids as the visiting Madison Mallards head north to Witter Field on this hazy afternoon here from Witter Field in Wisconsin Rapids. Good afternoon, everybody. Joey Fear with you here on WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. Well, it was a game last night for the Rafters as they were able to squeeze out a victory over the Fond du Lac Dockspiders 1-0 after it came in the top of the fifth inning as Alex Duffy was able to get sent home off of a Ty Johnson steal at second. Duffy was at third, and the Rafters were able to win that game 1-0. It was a pitching duel. It certainly was. Kalen Graham started on the mound for the Rafters. He totaled four strikeouts, as is other people came in. The San Diego products of Mekhi Negrete, Drake Fries were able to get on the mound. They acquired three strikeouts total. So the Rafters were able to improve their win percentage, going up to 2-4 on the season. So today the Madison Mallards come in at 3-3, managed by Donnie Scott. So Mallards just got swept by the Lakeshore Chinooks. They were not able to take a game off of that series. So they come back here on to Witter Field. So these two teams, Mallards are 3-3, Rafters are 2-4. The Rafters starting with Jackson Wentworth on the mound, the Kansas State product. Alex Duffy, who you've heard about in the past two games, is now making his second start at catcher. Jack Basir at first. Shane Taylor will be slotted in at the second base position today. He's not playing shortstop because that shortstop is a returning player out of Wagner College and a returning Northwoods League Rafter last year is Chris Conniff playing at shortstop. So Kyle Carlson will get the spot at third. Matt Olive will be slotted in at left field. And Ty Johnson, who's normally slotted in at second base, will be taking center field today as Logan Hugo, the trustworthy right fielder, will be slotted in at the right field position. As for the Mallards, they're starting with Derek Salata, the Illinois State product, on the mound today. Kenyon Brown at the catcher position, Jake Goolsby at first, Jackson Chatterton at second base, Keenan Taylor, Mikey Klucka at shortstop, Isaiah Jackson out of Arizona State will be in the center field position, as Corbin Dickerson will be in the right field position. The Rafters starting with Brandon Rogers leading off for them. He's been that trustworthy leadoff guy. He will be DHing today. So it's going to be Rogers, Johnson, Basir, Conniff, Olive, Taylor, Carlson, Duffy, and Logan Hugo batting in the nine hole. As for the Mallards, they're going with Jake Hallcroft, Keenan Taylor, Jackson Chatterton, Isaiah Jackson, Corbin Dickerson, Jake Goolsby, Kenyon Brown, Mikey Kluska, and batting in the nine hole is Michael Gupton. So, first pitch coming up here, National Anthem, just shortly. We're going to take a quick break here on WFHR. We'll be back in a moment.
Better begins with the way we treat each other, the way we listen to one another, and the way we serve and support each other. At Aspirus Health, better begins with a commitment to help build healthy families, healthy relationships, and healthy communities throughout a lifetime, from generation to generation. For whatever needs to be better in your life, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
Don McKinley. All right.
Back here as the Mallards getting ready with the Rafters. These two teams, first time they've met this season, as the Rafters looking to have a better game. They were able to win 1-0, but it was a pitching duel. They relied on their defense a lot, but a good sign for the Rafters in the bullpen. They have a lot of pitchers ready to make a statement here for the Rafters. Can they make it to two games in a row? First time they're looking to do that this season. They were halted in their second game. They won the second game. They were 1-1 on the season, then dropped three straight, got swept by Green Bay, lost the first one to Fond du Lac, but were able to get a win yesterday in a 1-0 game in Fond du Lac. They split the series and now coming home for quite a bit of home games. They've seven of their next eight games are all slotted here at Witter Field, so it's exciting. It's a hazy afternoon, and these two teams getting set to go. The Rafters are in their all-white uniforms with white tops, the white leggings, the maroon lettering on the front and back, and the black and white hats. As for the Mallards, they're going with their all-blue uniforms with a yellow stripe and the white hats. So Donnie Scott, the manager for the Madison Mallards, meeting at the plate as Kirk Schreider in his third season with the Rafters at the head coach position will be taking plate. Team's excited. First time they've met this season as the Mallards 3-3. They started the season 3-1, but were swept by the Lakeshore as the Rafters looking to make it 2 in a row. Mallards looking to end that losing streak. As it's exciting, Jackson Wentworth, we're going to get into him a little bit later down the line in this game, but the Kansas State product looking to make his first appearance in the Northwoods League. He got here yesterday, pitched in warm-ups against the game against Fond du Lac, did not make an appearance, but today he will get the start on the mound. So the Urbandale, Iowa product out of Waukee High School. But the Rafters, they've struggled at the plate. They're batting .220 as a team with 22 runs and 45 hits. They've had 18 RBIs as a team, but they've also been struck out 64 times. So fans have slowly started to come in as it's a hazy afternoon. Sunny, but definitely some cloud coverage for sure. The Rafters, though, have given up 34 runs, and they've only scored 22. So only the win 1-0 yesterday, but the important thing for Wisconsin Rapids was they were able to get a victory, and they needed one to get the vibes up, to get the energy up, because it really was low after losing to Fond du Lac in the game that they did. So we're going to figure out here as the Rafters and the Mallards getting set here. The Mallards, well, they're 3-3, batting a .184, though, as a team. They have 29 runs, 42 hits, and 25 RBI. They've scored 29 runs, but also have given up 27 runs for a 3-3 record. So I'm going to take a quick break here on WFHR. We'll be back in a moment for first pitch here from Winter Field.
If you have sustained an injury or have joint pain, you may need Wisconsin River Orthopedics. After a thorough examination, you may be prescribed therapy. Wisconsin River Orthopedics features their own in-house therapy center, staffed by experienced occupational and physical therapy professionals. If you need surgery for your ailment from one of their four surgeons, you may need therapy afterwards. Call 715-424-1881 or go to wroinstitute.com. 715-424-1881. Relieving pain and restoring lives.
Hey, baseball fans. Are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of the Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Field for the ceremonial first pitch.
We return here on WFHR as the first pitches to Mary and Julie setting on the mound. Mallards and Rafters here on the national anthem. On a hazy afternoon here in Wisconsin Rapids. Exciting for the Rafters to be back at home. Local Wisconsin Rapids fans can be excited about this homestand. 7 games in 8 days as the first of these two teams meeting in a game last year where